weekday, 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in the Middle East, where about 1,200 people on both sides have now died since Hamas fighters staged a surprise incursion into Israel Saturday morning using explosives, paragliders, motorcycles, and boats. We've just learned at least 9 Americans are among the dead, and others are unaccounted for. More than 100 people have been taken back to Gaza as hostages, Deputy U.S. National Security Advisor John Feiner tells CBS Mornings.
I expect the situation of the hostages to take on increasing focus over the course of the coming days. And we, of course, will be laser focused on confirmation of any Americans among that group.
Some were driven off from a music festival in southern Israel. Israel says it is cutting off electricity and water to Gaza and suspending shipments of food and fuel. And attacks continue. Correspondent Holly Williams reports.
Here in Sderot, we're around 2 miles from the border with the Gaza Strip, and we're currently just outside a bomb shelter. We've been hearing incoming rocket fire, forcing our team to scramble for cover not long ago. We've also been hearing the almost constant thud of what sounds like Israeli airstrikes.
Reporter Linda Gradstein is in Jerusalem.
Palestinian health officials said at least 500 Palestinians, including dozens of women and children, and even 4 of the Israeli hostages were killed in the bombardment, although that could not be confirmed.
I'm Cammy McCormick. Many airlines are refusing to fly to Israel. The FAA has urged U.S. airlines to use extreme caution. United, American, and Delta have all suspended flights to Tel Aviv. Many cruise ships had to Israel have been diverted to Cyprus.
Flights to and from Hamburg Airport were suspended for an hour and a half this morning after German officials say they received a threat to a plane from Iran. That flight has landed without apparent incident. The Wall Street Journal is reporting Iran helped Hamas plan its assault on Israel. Here in the U.S., more than 4,000 union workers walked out at Mack truck plants in Pennsylvania, Florida, and Maryland after rejecting a proposed 5-year contract. CBS's Matt Piper.
They'll be joining striking UAW members at the so-called Big Three, GM, Ford, and Stellantis, which launched a targeted action on September 15th after failing to reach a new deal.
Call her unstoppable. Simone Biles won 2 more medals on the final day of the Gymnastics World Championships for a record 37 overall.
It's a lot coming in and day out and competing, but I'm proud of the work that I put in, and I am ready to go home and relax.
She led the U.S. women to a record 7th straight victory. Victory in a team event. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Waukesha's water changes starting today. The water utility is changing the water source to Lake Michigan, which might lead to temporary chlorine-like smell or taste in the water. Officials say that's actually just a safety measure noticed during the transition. Once the switch is done, the water will be safe to drink as usual, as most people won't notice any significant differences. A map of where the water is flowing is on the City of Waukesha website. The Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office responded to a report of an endangered child Saturday, but no victims or evidence was found. Deputies were called to the Hone Bridge following the report that a child with an adult might be in danger. Despite searching the area, including the ground and water beneath the bridge, no evidence was found. The search for the vehicle driven by the adult is ongoing. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Join me, Lou Regani, as we explore the history of Racine, Kenosha, and Wisconsin. For over 30 years, I've told the story of our community, and now I'm excited to be part of Civic Media to continue this journey. So won't you listen in and even be part of the discussion? Tune your radio to 1400 AM or 99.9 FM and 98.1 FM. You can always stream the show live by downloading the Civic Media app.
The Lou Regani Show, Sundays 7 till noon on WRJN. folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it's New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York, and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to L.A. If my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry. Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means my co-host, Sandy Williams, and boy, Sandy.
Boy, you wake up in the morning and you don't know what you're going to read about this. You know, the world has kind of gone crazy. We've got the countries all over the world are fractured between right and left. That's one of the problems in Israel right now, is that they've gotten sort of fractured politically between the right and the left. You know, it was happening in Turkey, and it's happening all over. But you know, this Hamas thing, I keep talking about end games, and I have to tell you, I don't quite understand how the end game works in a situation like what has gone on in between Israel and Palestine for so long, except that the world out there tends to believe that that a two-state solution is necessary. But I don't know whether Hamas makes the two-state solution more likely by what they're doing.
Sandy, you were in Israel several years back, and they said Hamas fired 2,500 to 5,000 rockets.
Yeah.
Where do they hide those things? I don't.
Well, the rockets were fired from the Gaza. So, yeah. How do they hide it? Well, I don't know. I don't know how the extent to which Israel patrols inside the Gaza, but the Gaza Strip is apparently one of the most densely populated areas in the world. 2 million people live in a very small geographic area that is entirely fenced and has police checkpoints to get in and out of. So, and actually has walls that are dug down into the earth to avoid tunneling so that people can't get out of Gaza. It's essentially a bit like a prison for 2 million Palestinians who are required then to live inside the Gaza Strip and whose passage in and out is highly restricted.
Which, Sandy, clearly has created an environment of desperation. Is it safe to say that?
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, when I was looking at what Hamas does, what's the end game? And maybe it's harder to judge what an end game is when people are operating out of desperation, out of an effort to display their discontent in very tangible, horrifying ways. You know, now the Wall Street Journal is carrying a story that the intelligence agencies around the world haven't yet corroborated, which is that the attack was at least planned in conjunction with Hezbollah and the Iranians, and that therefore the Iranians are sort of in the background. Although it sounds like just by in the nature of providing planning assistance and not actual physical assistance.
Well, the United States has pushed back against that. Joe Biden and Blinken have said there's no truth in that. They They haven't seen anything to corroborate.
Yeah, they haven't. They said they haven't seen corroboration of Iranian involvement. And I'm not sure whether intelligence involvement gets all the way to getting you inside the inside warfare. Exchanging intelligence is something the United States does extensively, including with Ukraine, right?
Right.
And so I think the United States would be reluctant to say that intelligence sharing is an act of war, because that would put us in a bad spot with respect to Ukraine. But we have sent our most sophisticated aircraft carrier force into the area, so that that's apparently there to try and keep Hezbollah or any third party from intervening into the process and trying to contain this, so that this is essentially almost like a civil war within Israel. I mean, it's not a civil war. Gaza's not not a part of Israel in a direct sort of way. Well, it is. I mean, the world has trouble understanding the status of, for instance, the West Bank and Gaza. It has an unusual status.
So, Sandy, it's kind of safe to say that what is transpiring there has the capacity to become a multifaceted,
pronged
war.
Oh, yeah. I mean, stability in the Mideast is fragile, and this kind of a thing goes right to the heart of the instability in the Mideast. I mean, Israel is to the extent that there is a destabilizing factor within the Mideast, it's Israel. Israel is an outlier. It's not a Muslim country. It's not in league with the Muslim countries, and is at odds in some ways with them, or they with Israel. In any case, there are definitely arm's length. So there's this very arm's length situation in the Mideast. Saudi Arabia has been sort of a closeted white knight there to defend the sanctity of the Israeli borders. I think the Saudi situation is more in flux. They're trying to become a world player, and they're trying to become more of a neutral world player, not so much in the pocket of the United States as they have been in the past. Destabilizing the Mideast has the potential to be just very destabilizing in the world.
Let me ask you, Sandy. The situation in Gaza has been going on for a long time, and Hezbollah has not attacked. There's clearly been ratcheted up issues with the Palestinians and Israelis since Netanyahu took control again. Is it safe to say part of this, that Netanyahu has kind of created an atmosphere?
Well, the Netanyahu government, this most recent government, is the most conservative of the recent governments in Israel. And that conservatism has created a situation in which the second state solution seems to be much more remote. There have been actions that have been taken to minimize the rights of the non-Jewish citizens within Israel, so that the religious state nature of Israel has become heightened even more than was embedded in the whole principle of Israel to start with. And so I think that was bound to create frictions. I haven't followed this closely enough to understand what it is that has brought this to the boiling point at this moment. It seems as if it has surprised Israel as well. And so it might just be that Israel seemed to be a bit asleep at the switch, and Hamas, which is the ruling party, the ruling group, at least in de facto in Gaza, decided to take advantage of it.
So let me ask you, Sandy, I remember when the Iron Shield that was touted by Israel that would kind of deter incoming rockets. And it's 10 years in now, maybe a little bit longer than that. Maybe the technology of the Iron Shield has not been kept up, but they created the Iron Shield to prevent just what took place. Is it safe to say maybe people have fallen asleep on the switch? I mean, the United States didn't detect this. Israel and these, you got to figure they've got the best information in the world, you would think, the United States and Israel.
Well, I think so. I don't know the extent to which the types of rockets and the attacks of Hamas in this circumstance were the type that could be defended by the shield, because I think the attacks were, most of them, very short range. Very short range, within mere miles of the Gaza. The Ashkelon, a place I was shelled, apparently, I read this morning, and shelled rather extensively, but it could be shelled almost by artillery, that its proximity to Gaza was close enough so that, rockets, but very short-range rockets.
You know, this, I mean, 260 people were slaughtered.
At a music festival, yeah.
And they found that out later. Right now, Gaza is being shelled around the clock, and so the carnage of this is really going to be in the thousands. We hope it doesn't get into the tens of thousands.
Well, I think
it has the capabilities of that, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think the problem is that the militants of within Gaza are embedded within a population of 2 million, which is embedded in an area the size of a city in Milwaukee. And smaller than the city of Milwaukee, geographically, so that the shelling would necessarily, if you do it indiscriminately, rockets and shelling will kill many, many, many civilians. And so that's the difficulty of the situation. And the question is, you know, how much of that is Israel willing to pursue in the eyes of the world?
Well, the other side of it is 9 Americans were killed in the carnage, and they don't know how many Americans are hostage. Clearly, hundreds of hostages are now controlled by Hezbollah.
No, it's Hamas.
Hamas. Thousands, over 100.
Just to explain it, because it is confusing there. Hezbollah is basically in Lebanon, and it is an arm, supposedly an arm of the Iranians in terms of getting lots of aid from the Iranians. Hamas is the entity that is the terrorist organization, or at least it's the militant organization within Israel, within Gaza.
And Sandy, thanks for correcting me, because we need to be absolutely correct on who's doing what, and so people can understand it. We've got to go to a break, so we'll come to you guys on the phone lines after the break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Monday, and a somber Monday, with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Brother, come on, talk to me. Brother, you can't see what's going on. What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? What's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. What's going on?
Did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry. Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out.
And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab. Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Highs around 53 this afternoon under mainly sunny skies. Northwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight. Lows around 36. High temperatures reach up to 53. Tomorrow, more clouds than sun. Partly cloudy skies Wednesday with highs around 58. 54, chance for scattered showers Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's a Summer Monday with my host, co-host Sandy Williams. And Sandy, before we go to the phone lines, you and I were discussing some of, you know, the situation that's at hand that's probably at the root of what transpired. And nobody's justifying the slaughter of people.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. But there's certainly some information that is pertinent to what's taking place.
Well, yeah. I mean, the fact is that this happens, something like this happens, and it seems to happen periodically over the last 50 years. This has been an occurrence that doesn't really surprise us too terribly much when it happens every decade or that kind of timing. And it is the result of the fact that the Palestinian-Israeli problem has never been solved. And the fact is that most of the world, including substantial parties within Israel, recognize that a two-state solution, sanctifying a state of Palestine to exist and be protected from and to be protected, both Israel and the second state of Palestine, to get world assurances of their mutual safety, is the solution. And the problem is when something like this happens, it becomes very hard to now talk about that solution because it then seems to be an apparent reward to Palestine for the horrible terror types of conduct. They're bottled up right now. Palestine and Gaza are bottled up by the Israelis. The Gaza Strip has a fence around it. It's barricaded off much like a punitive island and a penal colony. And so obviously it's a festering sore, and this happens, and it's a horrible consequence. And the most depressing thing from my standpoint is it probably sets off in time, puts further into the future, the time when the two-state solution can be discussed, because the world and the Israelis would argue that talking about a two-state solution now is to reward terrorism. But the terrorism is the result of not getting to the point of the two-state solution. So we've got a chicken and an egg here. and it needs to be resolved, because this is like the boil that just every once in a while goes off, and it's a terrible, terrible consequence.
All right, let's go to Dave from Mequon. Good morning to you, Dave. You say what?
Good morning. I'm just going to tell you something really quickly. First of all, this is very hard for me personally, because Lindsay actually has family that lives there in Israel, and we're in communication with them, and we do FaceTime, and he's been in his bomb shelter now for the last couple of days with his dog, and he lives in Tel Aviv. And Sandy, I don't know if you realize this, but the shelling that's taken place, yes, it was predominantly in the southern part of Israel, but they've also have launched enough rockets. You know, initially it was 2,200 rockets, but since then they've launched a couple thousand more in addition to what they initially started. Number two, this is completely different from the standpoint that this is the first time in the 50 years since the Yom Kippur War that they've actually taken hostages.
Yeah.
Where they actually physically invaded the space. They never, before it was just rockets and what have you. This time they literally went into the homes with bazookas. And when they grabbed the people, so just, you know, the death toll is up to 1,000 Israelis, and it's like about 300 or 400 Palestinians in retaliation so far. And it is going to get uglier, because, Hamas has basically, they invaded not only by land, they took hang gliders, they went by sea, they did everything. They went on all fronts. And so when you were talking about the intelligence, there were some warnings ahead of time. Unfortunately, I don't think it was taken seriously enough. It's sort of like the situation when the United States knew that Pearl Harbor actually knew was going to be bombed potentially, and it got lost up the chain of command, and they didn't think that was actually going to take place. The same thing happened here, because there was some knowledge, but the flip side is, keep in mind, a lot of this technology has changed. Where
so David,
you
so,
should have some old school on the ground intelligence.
I know, but David, so we don't have time to go through all of it. I'm sorry, but your thoughts on what Sandy is saying about the fact that they have refused to work on this two-state solution?
Well, I guess my point was that ultimately this is a symptom of the fact that they haven't resolve that, okay? This is the festering sore that boils up. It's ugly, and the problem is that a country without an army resorts to terrorism, because if you don't have the military might to march, then you end up using terrorism, and that is the response, which involves then citizens,
right?
Civilians. So it's horrifying,
and especially now, which it's bad enough that Israeli citizens are hostages, but now America has citizens, American citizens killed, and I don't know how many there are hostages, and now that brings America into this.
Yeah, I mean, the hostages are clearly being taken back to Gaza to form essentially a human shield kind of a thing.
So we got to go to a break. David, thank you for the call. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the other side. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. So let me ask you.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Israel's defense minister has ordered a complete siege on the Gaza Strip over Hamas weekend incursion that has killed about 1,200 people on both sides. The U.S. says at least 9 Americans are among them. Deputy National Security Advisor John Finer tells CBS Mornings.
Just given the sheer numbers involved, we do expect that there may well be Americans who have been caught up in the hostage taking as well.
CBS's Holly Williams is in the southern Israeli city of Sderot.
Israel's military says it's retaken control of areas close to Gaza from where Hamas launched this surprise attack. But also Israel admits that individual militants are still operating on its territory.
4,000 unionized Mack truck workers joined strikes against Detroit's Big Three this morning after rejecting a new contract offer. CBS's Matt Piper.
The union president says 73% of workers voted against the deal, which included a 19% pay raise.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The Waukesha Water Utility is transitioning to Lake Michigan water starting today, with most changes being unnoticeable for customers. Some may experience temporary issues like discolored water. To fix that, it's recommended to remove faucet screens, run all cold water faucets fully open for 3 to 5 minutes, flush your toilets a few times, then reinstall the aerators. Milwaukee has earned a spot on a list of top travel destinations. The city has been named as one of Condé Nast's 2023 Traveler Reader's Choice, ranking it as the third best large city to visit. The city's culinary offerings received praise in particular. Chicago claimed the top spot as the best big city to visit, with San Diego in number two. Milwaukee outperformed cities such as New Orleans, Nashville, and Miami in the rankings. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Kreutz. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And go to the phone lines and CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. Give me just a minute here because how we got here. If you recall Oslo Accords in 1993, President Clinton had Shimon Peres from Israel and Yasser Arafat. Israel offered everything that Yasser Arafat and the Palestinians wanted. Everything. Gave him everything he wanted. They didn't want it to happen. They don't want peace. That's the thing.
So, wait. CJ. Why would they not want peace? Peace according to the terms of Israel and peace according to the terms of the Palestinians are two different things.
Again, Israel gave Yasser Arafat and the Palestinians everything they wanted, everything. President Clinton talked about it, Oslo Accords. And this president gave Iran $6 billion.
CJ, has nothing to do with this.
I think the intelligence approach with the $6 billion that went to Iran, I think it still sits in a bank in Qatar, so I don't think it's been touched yet, so that the immediate reaction of the media, the social media was that the $6 billion, those dollars were being funneled in the direction of Hamas to support this. And I think that fact is not accurate. We have another ally that's soft on this as well. It's Saudi Arabia. And we've not only funneled money in the direction of Saudi Arabia, we've sold them all kinds of weaponry, and we're very close to them. So I think the Mideast is a lot more complicated than we want to think about it and that we want to talk about it. I think that's the problem. And I do think that the world has been watching, and there have been repeated efforts to create a peace in Israel that relates to ultimately what would be a two-state solution. And I don't believe, incidentally, that Oslo Accord was a two-state solution at the time.
But I also want to clarify that CJ and others say that Joe Biden them gave Iran, number one, it was their money. When Barack Obama returned some of the money back to Iran, it was money, their money that we had held in our banks for decades. So when Biden was able to return some of their money, it was to free American hostages. So let's be clear. Didn't give them anything. It's their money. And in return, American hostages were released.
Interesting. This is just an interesting tidbit, but the precursor to U.S. Bank here in Milwaukee was the First Wisconsin Bank, and the largest shareholder of First Wisconsin Bank was the Shah of Iran and his trust, and there was part of those frozen assets that were returned were essentially the follow-on assets that were part of that First Wisconsin business. So, anyway.
Okay. So go ahead, CJ. So we have to clarify that.
Okay, I can refute almost everything.
Refute it.
My mic off.
Hey, CJ, refute.
The supreme leader of Iran, Ali Khamenei, said, we'll spend the money the way we want. The $6 billion frees up their other money to support Hamas. Take more hostages.
You don't know that, CJ. You can't verify any of that. CJ, you can't verify. CJ, you're in America.
Well, look.
How can you verify that?
Look, money.
You can't.
Money is money. And we have a variety of countries in the Mideast who are providing a variety of kinds of support to groups in the Mideast, including Hamas. And I think you'll find that Saudi Arabia also provides support. I just think the Mideast is a lot more complicated than we can talk about it if what we want to talk about is just simply good guys and bad guys. I do think that anyone looking at this objectively has to be very sorry that this has happened, that it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy for Israel. It's a tragedy for both Israel and Palestine in that it probably stalls and kicks the can further down the road into the future when actual peace can be arrived at. And I'm not sure that looking backwards at the Oslo Accord and at all of that tells us a great deal about the
where
situation.
We are today.
Yeah, about where we are today. Yeah. I think where we are today is the result of the fact that we have still not solved this problem. And part of the fault of solving the problem has to reside within Israel as well as within the rest of the world and certainly within Palestine.
And the United States as well, because we have not done our due diligence to make sure that this is...
Well, I mean, the extent to which we can lean on the countries to solve this is possibly limited, and our political will to lean on one or the other of the parties might also be limited. And so, you know, we've tried to produce peace, and we're doing things that are making things somewhat more peaceful in the Mideast. The recognition of Israel by some of the Mideastern countries is a move in the right direction. But I don't know. I think to try and turn this situation into a question that relates to United States partisan politics is to duck from reality and to simply get a shiny object back into the discussion.
All right, CJ, quickly.
This President Biden, refused to meet with Netanyahu for 285 days. This is caused by this president's weakness. And yes, here's the thing. Israel says, this is what Iran says about Israel. You choose life, we choose death.
Hey, CJ.
That's what the Palestinians.
CJ, I have to ask you how you can say this is caused by President Joe Biden. Connect that dot for me.
Very easily, $6 billion.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much for the call.
All right.
You know, Sandy, that's...
Well, I just think people want to get excited and want to create and lay blame within the United States because it's convenient and potentially politically an attractive outcome. But the blame in the Mideast resides in the Mideast, and the situation in the Mideast resides in the Mideast, and the ultimate solution to it needs to reside there as well. And the notion that the United States can be a broker for it, as can Russia. Incidentally, this is an interesting situation because 2 million of the 11 million Israelis are Russians, and Russia is actually almost as close an ally to Israel as the United States is. And so this is a situation in which it's very complicated. Russia has an alliance with Iran, but it also has a very tight arrangement with Israel. And so there are world forces there who are willing to support peace in the Mideast and a peace that is not and should not be anathema to Israel.
So, Sandy, here's something that I just don't understand. There are people saying, well, maybe we need to get China in this and China can have dialogue and come, as if China is in a position to broker peace more so than the United States.
Well, China...
And yet we condemn China at every turn, but the world is saying, looking at China... Am I right or wrong in that assessment?
Well, no, you're right about that, because China ends up being a very big trading partner in the Mideast. It's a big oil customer. It also is a big trading partner with everybody in the world, okay, in terms of selling its products in those countries. And so... China indeed is in a position, and also China has opened up relations with the Muslim Mideast, and is in a position to also have a thread of contact that goes through Iran, and to the extent that Iran is a player in the background, you know, we're a player in the background providing intelligence and information to the countries that are denominated the West. Well, Iran and Russia and China and these countries also share intelligence and are in a sort of stream of information to all the countries which don't call themselves the West. And they even are involved with some of the countries that call themselves the West, just as we are involved with some of the countries that don't call themselves part of the West. So there is a back channel that runs outside of our public's view, in which these countries have influence, and China has plenty of influence.
And you know, Sandy, it's just a fact that we as Americans don't want to accept that there's somebody else outside of us being the ones to always come to the rescue of these things, right? It's safe to say that time has passed. Is it safe to say that?
Well, yeah. And, you know, the notion that somehow not meeting with Netanyahu could produce this outcome begs the fact that we have continued to supply weapons and to supply all of the necessary resources to Israel that are needed to defend itself. And I don't think anybody believes that Israel is in a weakened military position today from what it ever has been. Israel is the mightiest military force in the Mideast, even though it has only 11 million citizens. It has all of the weaponry and all of the technology necessary to defend itself, including, without its own admission, in all likelihood, the nuclear bomb.
And not to mention the backing of the United States government, because clearly Netanyahu made the statement that we are going to be looking for support from the American government. And right away, it was asked what, and he started talking about money. So Sandy, you know, there's not going to be any question, even without a Congress, acting Congress right now, Israel asks for money, they're going to get the money, right?
Well, to this, money can be flowed by the president only under somewhat limited circumstances. So I think it is true that to the extent that it's a material sum of money were to be sent there, it might well require an act of Congress, which would require that the House of Representatives get its act in order so that it can do so.
So let's say that this comes to fruition and Israel wants financial resources. Does it impact at all, if this goes on for an extended period of time, our commitment to Ukraine financially?
Well, obviously, you know, everyone in the country is now saying we've got finite resources. We have interest payment bills annually that are approaching the size of what we spend directly on our military, which is in the $600 billion range. And so, you know, we've got it. We've got a big bill that we're paying for expenditures of money, and so foreign investments are increasingly finite. So that's just to say, there's a limit to how many foreign wars we can finance. You know, Israel, Ukraine, Taiwan. I mean, you know what? You know what? How far are we willing to reach? And is it smart for us to put ourselves in a position of being the world financier of such things?
You know, Sandy, it's not just the fact that this thing is taking place now and Netanyahu has clearly declared war, but it's all the other things surrounding it, encompassing, that we have to be careful not to see it where it is now, but where it could escalate to in a millisecond, right?
Well, yeah, and I do think that's why that aircraft carrier group was sent there, was to try and isolate Israel from any potential foreign intervention. Whether in fact Hezbollah or somebody would consider intervening is a question mark. But yeah, I'm sure that the world is holding its breath because they would prefer that this be isolated. The problem Israel has is that because it's essentially a civilian terrorist group, and the civilians live in and amongst 2 million people in a very small area, it's not possible to simply indiscriminately bomb and send rockets against the enemy. The enemy has to be ferreted out and found, which is a far different thing.
All right, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. You know.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there. See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Alba Show.
You can't impeach someone before they've committed an alleged crime. Even principled conservatives are going to look at that action and say, come on, what's going on?
The Todd Alba Show.
Dan Knotel, Republican of Germantown, said he was moving forward to uphold his quote-unquote constitutional duty, which is a joke.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Eyes level off around 53 this afternoon under mainly sunny skies, northwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, lows level off around 36. Mainly cloudy skies tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 53. Upper 50s Wednesday, cooler Thursday, with highs in the mid-50s and showers possible. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, you know, this situation is not going to, you know, rectify itself overnight. Israel certainly has, as you stated, a military. And it's easy if you have a military and you're willing to fight with another military, your military might gives you a position and somebody to really fight, right? On equal footing, right? You've got somebody equal to you, and the world is not going to cry crocodile tears when two armies go at each other. But when an army goes at a civilian population, it's a different story, right?
Well, and that's the difficulty with terrorism. We found that out in the United States. When your enemy is embedded in your civilian population and isn't walking around in uniform, isn't staging military actions in force, it becomes a much more difficult environment and a much more difficult situation to defend against. And that's the situation with Hamas and this whole problem that Israel now faces, because it's not, in most circumstances at least, a direct military confrontation. When you have 60 militants going into a music fair, and now you've got something that seems like a military action, but when they disappear back into the civilian population, now you've got a problem of finding them and what to do about it, and how measured can your response be. And, you know, I think we can expect, in light of the horror of this, that the response of the Israelis might be less measured in the circumstance. And so we might just be watching some horrifying things unfolding here. Now, they have told the citizens of Gaza to basically find safe places.
But that's easier said than done, right?
Well, yeah, it's
2 million people.
2 million people in a very tight place means that it must mean that Israel plans on going in and fighting in military style, and not necessarily with rockets.
So let me ask you, Sandy, so when Israel says evacuate Gaza, they're not just allowing people to just run out.
No,
they're going to filter.
No, they're saying basically, find a safe place within Gaza. They aren't they aren't telling people in Gaza that they can all go through the barriers and find their own safe place within the rest of Israel. So, you know, I've not physically been within Gaza. I can't picture it. But my understanding is that people basically live on top of one another there, and that it won't be an easy place to get distance from the area of combat and danger.
You know, Sandy, you couple all of this just so people are aware of the times and what we are dealing with, because as Americans, these things don't directly affect us. Ukraine war, what's happening now in Israel. It doesn't impact us directly, but it's safe to say anything going on in the Middle East could affect the prices of oil at the drop of a hat. Is that safe to say?
Well, the price went up this morning, and the reason the price went up is instability, uncertainty. Also, something I wasn't aware of, and that is that Israel sits on a very huge reserve of natural gas, which they've just discovered. And so the access to that natural gas might be more restricted. And so that's had a price on the future spot price of gas. The Mideast is a major supplier of natural resources, and instability there then has an impact on the commodity prices of those things.
So we were just watching the prices of gas come down. Lowest I saw was $2.99. This happens. There's a possibility that that's going to ratchet up. If this lasts any extended period of time, we're all going to be impacted and affected by it.
Right, because the world price is what really affects our price, in spite of the fact that people wanting to point at Joe Biden, it's the world price of oil that affects the price of oil. And when the world price gets high enough, American oil manufacturers start putting their oil on boats, shipping it abroad to sell it at a higher price.
So add to this the issue with Congress and, you know, whether or not the Republicans are going to be able to come to a consensus on who the next speaker is. That split right down the middle between Jim Jordan and Steve Scalise. But this is not a good time for that, is it?
No. I mean, you know, the instability of our government is a problem. And the inability of our government to run itself in an orderly fashion has an impact on our reputation. It also has an impact on our ability to be a reliable player in the world, as well as a reliable player in the U.S. economy. So instability like that can affect the U.S. economy. It also affects our position in the world, and it affects other nations who are relying on us.
You know, Sandy, we got to leave it there for now. But hopefully by Friday, we'll have seen positive changes, but we could very well see by Friday just an escalation that could lead this thing out of control. It's safe to say that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is the options here are not good and horrible. And the option of a good outcome by Friday is unlikely.
All right, we got to leave it there. Sandy Williams, my co-host on Mondays and Fridays. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. You know, we're in a tough situation, and I would say to all people listening right now, you should certainly spend some time kind of focusing on what's going on now, because, you know, it's going to impact and affect our lives, and we can't stick our heads in the sand. It's going to impact and affect us, so I'll see you guys on tomorrow. See you later.
I won't know. David Drake is a professor and the Extension Wildlife Specialist at UW-Madison. Greg, tell him what you call him.
I now refer to you as Jane's birder boyfriend.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Whoa!
Now I have competition.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh,
God, I am wounded.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR.